So the idea of these top tens is obviously there isn't a box office top ten for us to work from. What with the cinemas being shut and everything, so we're suggesting that you tell us the topic for the top ten, but you also have to fill it in. Okay, so you don't you just suggest the general idea. You have to tell us what the answers are as well. And this email comes from Charlie Fink. Okay, I'm a long-term listener, first-time emailer, and a one-time guest. You very kindly had me on to discuss a short film I made when I was in my band Noah and the Whale.
Exactly. And do you know after whom and what were Noah and the Whale named?
Is it Noah in the Bible and the Whale in the Bible?
No, it's I'm pretty certain that they're named after Noah Baumbach and the Squid and the Whale. I'm pretty certain. In fact, I know that's true because we played a gig with them at the Roundhouse, and I think I asked Charlie that question.
Anyway, Charlie says, I would like to propose a top 10 list that is very close to my heart. Films about fictional musicians and bands.
Okay.
So no biopics, no biopics either, no documentaries.
Biopic, it's no such thing as a biopic. Stop it.
Correct. No documentaries or films that are quite clearly based on real life stars, like the Ruttles. And so on. So you're not allowed to say Slade in Flame because clearly that doesn't count.
Oh, come on.
No, the rules are no biopics, documentaries or films that are quite clearly based on real life stars.
But Slade in Flame is not quite clearly based on Slade. It stars Slade, but Flame are not Slade.
But the Ruttles, Grace of My Heart, means that you can't have Slade in Flame.
Hang on. Has Charlie Fink also said that we can't have Grace of My Heart either?
Yes.
Right. Well.
Okay. And it's his top 10. So you can't quibble because he suggested it and he's filled in the gaps.
Okay. So has he specifically said, I can't have Slade in Flame and I can't have Grace of My Heart?
He says, you can't. I'll read it again. No biopics, documentaries, or films that are quite clearly based on real life stars. And Slade in Flame is quite clearly based on real life stars who are Slade.
Okay, so he didn't say, yeah, I can't have Slade in Flame. He didn't say, I can't have Grace of My Heart. So I'm having both.
And then he says, e.g., the Ruttles and Grace of My Heart, etc.
Okay. Right, well, I'll give you the Ruttles, but Grace of My Heart is enough. Okay, fine.
No, you can't. He says, you can't have it. That is the whole point.
Okay.
It's his top 10. It's not your top 10. That was last week. It's his top 10.
Okay.
Charlie says, I've watched all these films dozens of times and I love them dearly. However, I'd be excited to discover any omissions. That Mark and other listeners might suggest. So here we go. Top 10 films about fictional bands or musicians that don't involve Slade or anything else. At number 10, Still Crazy.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, Bill Nye doing a rock music, although arguably Bill Nye doing a rock musician in Love Actually is slightly greater, but Still Crazy is good fun. It's nominated for a couple of awards as well. And that's perfectly fine. Happy with that.
Do I remember? I remember Zoe Ball is in that film.
Is she? I don't remember that. I remember. I can't remember what that.
I think so. I think she plays Zoe Ball.
The band get back together again after all these years, and are they called Strange Fruit? Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's fine.
RJG Martin says, I was discussing Still Crazy just last night. It might have been the first movie I saw that Bill Nye made a big impression on me. I think I might give it a look later. Spare Tomato says, Still Crazy is the great overlooked band road trip film. Excellent cast, genuinely funny lines, especially from Tim Spall, and a rocking soundtrack. Yes, it's predictable, but the excellent performances make up for it. Also, I like to see it as a prequel to Love Actually. Also, Bruce Robinson, who wrote and directed with Nail and I, is perfectly cast as the reclusive guitarist. Number 10 is Still Crazy. Number 9 is Almost Famous.
Well, all I can say, Charlie Fink, is if you're saying you can't have stories that are clearly based on real life, I mean, Almost Famous is basically based on Cameron Crowe's real life experiences as a Rolling Stone journalist. So I'm having Slade in Flame.
No, you can't. Anyway, Graham Marsden said Almost Famous has not really aged very well. It's truly awful. I can imagine that might be true, but I haven't seen it since it came out.
It's not awful. The scene in Almost Famous when they all sing Tiny Dancer on the bus is absolutely lovely. I don't think it's really awful.
Number 8 is The Commitments.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I'd argue that Once isn't in the list. I know Once isn't about a band. It's about two people singing a song. The Commitments is great, but I think Once is greater.
Number 7 is Cold War.
Excellent choice. That is a really, really excellent choice.
Tell us about that. I can't remember that one.
So it's Pavel Pavlikovsky, and it's inspired. I mean, the group that she's singing with at the beginning, the Masaryk Ensemble, are inspired by a real life troupe of singers. They're auditioning musicians and dancers to showcase the authentic sounds of Poland. And then the story then tells this episodic story. It's a kind of a love story told across the Great Divide. Beautifully filmed. I mean, really, really fantastic performances. Joanna Kulig is just terrific as the lead actor in it. No, it's great. I think it's absolutely lovely. A really, really great film. I mean, heartbreaking and a kind of real epic sweep to it. Despite the fact it's quite a short film and beautifully lensed. Yeah, no, and completely convincing. And the music, which all appears to be being done live, is great.
So Cold War's at number 7. Someone who likes to be known as Post-Millennial Panda says, Cold War is an absolute work of art. It's the only subtitled film I've ever got my dad to watch all the way through. That's at number 7. 6 is A Mighty Wind.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, I would have had this higher because I think A Mighty Wind, I think it's up there with Spinal Tap in terms of its endless quotability. I remember at the Oscars when Mitch and Mickey, they did Kiss at the End of the Rainbow, which is just so brilliant. If you have any interest in folk music, or you know, the thing about it is it's so well observed, and like all the best kind of mockumentaries, it's, and I think this is the same is true of Best in Show, it's that close that there are scenes in it that you can almost believe that they're not, you know, they're not just taking the mic, that they are genuine. And Kiss at the End of the Rainbow is absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I think it's lovely. I love that. Well,
I think it, and it's also I know some folkies had a problem with it because it's the kind of folk music. Well, it's the kind of Peter, Paul and Mary folk music. It's the kind of 60s folk music that wasn't really the earthy, gutsy folk music. It was that particular kind of spangly folk music, which was a bit weedy. But I liked it very much.
I thought it was, yeah, and there's an E-A-O's. It's great. I think it's endlessly quotable and I love it.
Number 5 is That Thing You Do.
Good choice. Tom Hanks throwing a shape is fantastic. Although, if I can just mention Grace of My Heart. Grace of My Heart is the film that got slightly shoved under the carpet because That Thing You Do got all the attention. And if we're not allowing Grace of My Heart because it's based on the Carole King story, although it's, you know, it's a very loose version of the Carole King story, and incidentally, it's a better film. That Thing You Do is terrific, not least because it has in it a one-hit wonder song that actually sounds like it could have been a one-hit wonder song. And the moment in it when Tom Hanks throws a shape, when he's watching the wonders, or the Oneidas, as it looks like it, when he's by, you know, when he's just suddenly lets himself loose from it, is lovely. I think, and the song is great.
We will of course conclude the show with another Tom Hanks moment. Rachel Miller says, That Thing You Do is my favorite. The song has been on my movie playlist for years, and it does hold up, as Mark was saying. Number 4 really is Crazy Heart. There's another fabulous film.
Well, again, we talked about this just the other day because I was saying I know how much you love that film, and I was talking about, you know, the thing at the beginning when he's stumbling on and off stage. But you were saying actually the thing that's great about it is that the music is so completely convincing.
Yeah, he's an exhausted, washed up country rocker, and he really, really sounds like it. But the soundtrack actually bears repetition. You know, it's a really it's really terrific. Crazy Heart's at number 4. Number 3, Inside Llewyn Davis.
And why did you make that sound?
Oh, I was so disappointed with it because I thought it would be fantastic. It really should have been fantastic. I just found it really disappointing and boring and completely up itself. But apart from that.
Am I right in thinking that you had the soundtrack for some time and you were playing the soundtrack, and then when you saw the film later, you were disappointed? Is that right?
Yes, yeah. I think I got invited to go to America or something to see it anyway, but which never happened because you're not allowed to accept those kind of things because it's against the rules and all that. No, I just thought it was incredibly disappointing. So I'm happy to listen to the soundtrack. I just don't want to see the movie again.
I've seen the film a couple of times now. I haven't warmed to it, and not, you know, completely. Although I did enjoy it more the second time. It's I remember that the Coens said, I looked this up. The Coens said that it can be traced back to a single idea. What if Dave Van Ronk had been beaten up in an alleyway in 1961? There is, however, the scene when they do the musical comedy song of "Please, Mr. Kennedy, Don't Send Me into Outer Space," which is really funny.
Felicia Barker says, watched Inside Llewyn Davis just the other day. Thought it was cracking and underappreciated. And more than anything else, I thought Please, Mr. Kennedy is a banger of a tune. Number two in Charlie Fink's top 10 films about fictional bands or musicians, Blues Brothers.
Yeah. Now, I hate to say this, but Blues Brothers for me is a little bit like The Big Lebowski. I mean, I've seen it and I've enjoyed it. I don't quite get the way that people love it, because it is a mess. I mean, it's like a kind of snowball. It's got brilliant musical performances and so many great cameos and all those great sequences. But as a movie, it is a very, very ill-disciplined mess. And you know the whole thing, that in the end they were cutting, doing various cuts of it because they were having fights with the studio and everything. I think it's fine. I just don't hold it in quite the same esteem that almost everyone else in the world does. But as I said, I'm the person who's agnostic on the subject of Big Lebowski. Do you love Blues Brothers?
I think I like it a bit more than you. Muiran Chiunai says, so many quotable lines in a movie where the characters say very little. But they're not going to catch us. We're on a mission from God, is the one that she puts in. Charlie says, watch Blues Brothers recently for the first time. What a mess. Maybe you had to be there at the time.
It is a total mess of a film.
And number one in the top 10 films from Charlie Fink about fictional bands or musicians. Well, the contribution from Darren Leithley here says the list should really go up to 11 because, of course, it's Spinal Tap.
I mean, I think there was never any question that that would be at the very top, not least because it's the most quotable and the most funny, but also because it is the most convincing. I remember Bono once saying that he couldn't watch it because it was too close to being a documentary. Everyone I know has seen it. It's like Monty Python. Doesn't matter how many times you see it, every time you see it, it's great. I love the fact that the songs, I mean, the soundtrack album, which I've got, which has got things like America, which is the song that's left out of the... In fact, funnily enough, if you get the DVD of it, there's like an hour of all the stuff that isn't in the film, with all the stuff about the support band, and even that stuff is really, really convincing. But it is the most brilliant depiction of life in a band, and I have no question about that at all.
Some comments about what's not included. Andy says, of course, this list is missing Damien Chazelle's psychotically intense, inspiring Fast and Furious Whiplash. Ian Tunnicliffe says, where is Breaking Glass? Nick Parkhouse, the music.
Glass, wow. I mean, that's a film that doesn't get brought up often enough. It's not a great film, but it's got a brilliant onstage set piece when she performs, is it called Eighth Day? In the beginning,
yes,
what's the world?
Yeah. The music in Music and Lyrics absolutely nails the 80s era. Pop Goes My Heart is the best 80s song that never was. Thank you, Nick Parkhouse. And Richard Charles, Did I Miss A Star Is Born on the list. The ending gets me every time, and the chemistry between Gaga and Cooper is palpable. Thank you very much to Charlie for sending in the top 10 films about fictional bands or musicians. If you'd like to send us a top 10 and fill in the 10, we'd love to hear from you. mayo@bbc.co.uk. What are we doing in the next section then, Mark?
Well, we'll be reviewing some films, including Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always. Can I just chuck into that list, if I had to pick one significant omission, Fear of a Black Hat, Rosty Kundieff's film about a rap band, which is way better than CB4 and has got, unfortunately, forgotten in this list. And I think, Charlie, you'll really like it.